I want to say thank you to everybody at the WB Press for putting out with me for the past 2 years. It has been an amazing experience. And also to my committee, Kevin and Ethel and Marianne, to my awesome neighbors, Jess and Billy, my roommate, Holly, my puppy, Lucy, and my parents who drove up from Tennessee today. This is a portion of my essay, The Principal Sound. It's been raining for days, and I'm afraid we will be stuck. Standing in my Velcro lion shoes, I stare out the loading dock garage door, watching the little bit of sunlight catch strings of raindrops against the dark gray clouds. Squinting, I measure the closing gap between the water level and the concrete pad of the garage. Clumps of red clay wash down the hill toward gravel. The oak trees across the street swing in violent whips of wind. I am maybe 8. It is the weekend, and Dad and I are at his company shop building my younger brother's birthday present, a wooden dragon with wings that spin. Behind me, a table saw stops its whine, and I can faintly hear Dad whistling as he sands the dragon's edges. I know I should be inside helping, but instead I shiver, worried we will be flooded. And then Dad is at my back, his rough hands smelling of wood stain on my shoulders, his arm hair dusty with curls of sawdust. I look up at his face, leaning my braided head against his chest. "We'll be fine," he says, grinning. And I believe him. My father has been building pipe organs since before I was born. He is the floor manager of R.A. Colby Incorporated, whose company motto is "Sounds Like Art." I still haven't figured out what that means. The company designs and builds the organ console, which houses the keyboards, pedals, and draw knobs, as well as the wooden casing that contains pipes. These pieces often must match the woodwork already in the sanctuary, down to the stain of the wood and the detail of the decorative molding. Dad is a craftsman. He knows whether maple or oak will look most appropriate in the project at hand, and he knows where to accent with exotic pieces like rosewood or ebony to bring a console alive. He spends his time carving the more intricate pieces, first letting the CNC machine flesh out the design, and then going over every detail himself to smooth the sharp angles and rough curves. He sands until the wood is glossy and soft, and sprays stain one layer at a time to get just the right shade. He knows how to dovetail corners and high joints to make his work look as if it has been carved from a single block. Often, Dad's job requires him to tune pipe organs in the area. When I was younger, I would spend the afternoon with him keyholding at Milligan College. I always looked forward to those days. It meant just the two of us would go out to lunch at the restaurant of my choice. As Dad climbed around in the chamber between pipes, I would hold down a key or two at a time under his direction. After the first attempt, I realized it was impossible to read a book while holding down keys, so I would spend the time looking at the stained glass windows of apostles and Old Testament stories, or watch the shadow of Dad behind the chamber screen, climbing over and around stands of pipes. The sunlight in the chapel was always bright, illuminating the wood grain in the stage, in the organ bench, in the organ itself. Meanwhile, Dad would find the sounding pipe and adjust the cap on the top until the vibrations were correct. When satisfied, he would call out for me to move down the multiple keyboards to the next note. Dad doesn't read music. He sang baritone in high school choir, but he doesn't know music theory. He just hears when he gets it right, when the vibrations match to become one yawning sound instead of clashing notes. Honestly, I'd always considered my mother the more artistic of the two. She grew up sketching and painting, capturing in stillness the beautiful curves and angles of ordinary things. Sure, Dad built stuff, but he was more of a musician in my eyes, singing when no one else was around, teaching my younger brother to play guitar. Art, to me, was a hobby, something for spare time. Dad's work, cutting and carving, staining and nailing, is beautiful, but I had always considered it just a job, as if obligation made it less inspired. But Dad is patient and works until the lumber has just the right curve, just the right gloss, until it has become something more than wood, glue, and nail. The scent of sawdust or lacquer immediately recalls Dad. He has worked with wood my whole life, building not only pipe organs, but toys, our house, even most of our furniture. His hands are strong but damaged. His fingertips are cracked and scratchy from years of sanding and sawing. He's missing the top two knuckles of both the pinky and ring finger on his left hand from an accident with a table saw, causing years of phantom pains. Dad maintains a perpetual farmer's tan from spending his lunch hour bicycling through the suburbs of Johnson City, Tennessee. Dark olive arms, pale shoulders and torso, and sometimes a nice tan oval on the back of his hand from his riding gloves. His left shoulder angles sharper than his right because of a cycling accident just after his 50th birthday. The strange slope causes his t-shirts to hang funny, but he doesn't care. He is small and muscular but balding. He possesses the Roman nose of his father. His beard and mustache are dark gray except along his cheeks, where the hair grows in snow white. He looks over the rim of his wireframe bifocals, leaning in when focusing on small details. He is easily startled. He constantly whistles. I think Dad has had the same apron since he started working at R.A. Colby. It is a full apron with a loop around his neck and long ties in the back. The little chest pocket usually holds a pencil for marking measurements. Lately, he's been carrying a small notebook around, too. I don't know what color his apron used to be. Now it's dark gray, stiff and cracking from years of lacquer and glue. The fabric doesn't move when he blows off sawdust with the pressure blower at the end of the day. The only easy way to describe Dad's workbench is well used. It is simple plywood board sitting on 2x4 shelves covered with wood scraps, clamps, little silver washers, often a sweating can of Dr. Pepper, and Dixie cups of glue with toothpicks sticking out. He hovers over and around his ripped green Naugahyde stool for up to 10 hours a day. Behind him, on his cabinet, sits the dusty radio that, for years, has been tuned to WETS, the public radio station. It is so old, I'm not sure the station can be changed anymore. That same radio used to play cassette tape lullabies and the Apple song in my little brother's room at night. Just above the radio, on a shelf, sits the nameplate reading Larry Rosalina in careful block lettering that I would burn for him in art class. On the wall hangs a bulletin board that Dad has taped various photos and notes to. The Australian Finch card I drew to raise money for a trip abroad is covered in thick brown dust, giving it a faux antique finish. There's also a photograph of my brother, Samuel, aged 4 or 5, running full throttle through our yard with a kite in tow. Dad doesn't like to talk on the phone, but every once in a while he'll call on his lunch break to check in. I look forward to these unexpected conversations, though they are never more than a few minutes long. A couple of months ago, he called to tell me about a dream he had. Usually, and we make fun of him for this, he dreams about everyday life. He'll sit at the kitchen table for breakfast and tell us his dream about going to work, about riding his bike at lunch, about mowing the yard. But this time, he told me he dreamed that I was about 4 and Samuel was just a baby. I held you both in my arms and smelled your hair, your skin, he said, his voice distant. When he woke up, he wanted to cry because he had remembered those early moments so clearly, because he had gotten a chance to relive them for a night. I felt my eyes burning as he told me, and then we were both silent, and it was time to go back to work. Since my birth and then my brother's, Dad has written prayers with our names deep inside the bellies of pipe organs going across the country. I don't know exactly what he writes, perhaps prayers of protection. But when I think of my name in different corners of the United States, I am comforted. They are hidden moments of adoration, a father silently loving his children. I wonder what the next repair guy will think when he pries off the back panel to find a prayer written in messy handwriting, half lowercase, half caps, for a little girl and her brother.